Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Seahawks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the fastest growing sports audio network in the world. This is Vincent Verhey of Football Outsiders, and I'm back talking your Seattle Seahawks and all the news around the NFL. Thanks for hanging out today. Let's hang out again tomorrow. Be sure you and your friends subscribe to the podcast because we're going to have some fun. If you're listening to the show and it sounds funny, it's not your system. It is me. My microphone broke right before I started to record this, so I'm currently sitting in the closet shouting at my computer. I apologize for that, but at this point there's not much I can do, and I missed a show yesterday. I don't want to miss a show today as well. So bear with me. We'll get through this, and hopefully by tomorrow I can find some sort of solution. So, here we are. It is divisional round week, and the Seahawks have advanced this far. They're going to face the Atlanta Falcons. So, we're going to do our Falcons preview today, along with the five Falcons Seattle must stop, because it's pretty much the same thing anyway. Tomorrow, we're going to have a crosstalk with the Locked On Falcons crew. That maybe have to be done over the phone right now. We'll see how that goes. But, here it is. Seattle is in the divisional round. They're traveling to Atlanta to play the Falcons. And it's funny, as I was going over all these notes, I thought, man, this sounds really familiar. I know Seattle played Atlanta this season already, but that was months ago. And then I remembered I previewed Atlanta 2 weeks ago in advance of their game against New Orleans. So that, in hindsight, was a poor decision, as it made sure that at some point in the playoffs, the Seahawks and Falcons were likely to meet, and I would be doing a redundant show. So here we are. The Falcons, now that the season is done, they went 11-5, won the NFC South. Very underrated offense. I'm not sure why they're not getting more attention. They are first in points scored, and when I say first in points scored with 540 points, they're not just the best offense this year or the highest scoring offense this year. They are one of the top 10 scoring units of all time. That's bad news for Seattle. The good news for Seattle is the Falcons were also 27th in points allowed, so they tend to play a lot of shootouts. Both teams are likely to get 20 points this Saturday. Going over these Falcons stats, what's most amazing is the efficiency of their passing game. They don't actually pass the ball a lot. They were 12th in rushes, but only 26th in pass attempts in a 32-team league. So they were almost a bottom five team in terms of pass attempts. However, they were still third in passing yards and second in passing touchdowns. So essentially their offense is run, 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 big passing touchdown. Run, 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 big passing touchdown. And it's those big passing touchdowns that have had them winning games so often this year. Matt Ryan should be the MVP. He's averaged 9.3 yards per attempt. Since the merger with the AFL in 1970, the only other quarterbacks to hit 9.3 yards per attempt were Ken Stabler in 1976, Chris Chandler in 1998, and Kurt Warner in 2000. And what separates Ryan from those three is he had way more pass attempts than the other three did. Stabler and Chandler were both on very run-heavy offenses. Chris Chandler was on a team with Jamal Anderson that got 400-some carries. And Ken Stabler, of course, played in the 70s when everyone ran a lot. Kurt Warner was on a pass-heavy team, but he only played half that year. So there's never been anyone who was this efficient as a passer as Matt Ryan and threw so many passes. So it's a pretty scary concept. The Falcons are a two-headed rushing attack. Devontae Freeman was ninth in the NFL with 1,097 rushing yards, and Tevin Coleman was 34th at 520. That would have led Seattle. And you put add that together, that's 1,617 rushing yards. That would be second in the league behind Ezekiel Elliott this year. And both those players also catch the football a lot too. Devontae Freeman finished seventh in yards from scrimmage. Coleman was 37th. We'll have more to say about him later. Julio Jones, of course, Atlanta's leading receiver, and he's a good test case that proves that sometimes receptions and catches are overrated. He was only 18th in the NFL with 83 catches. Raise your hand if you can find 17 wide receivers in the NFL better than Julio Jones. However, he was second with more than 1,400 receiving yards, and among those with 1,000 yards receiving, he had 17 yards per catch. Only DeSean Jackson had more at 17.9. Mohamed Sanu, the free agent from Cincinnati, was second on the team in catches and yards. Taylor Gabriel, the free agent from Cleveland, was second on the team in yards per game. He tied for the team lead in touchdowns. He had as many touchdowns as Julio Jones did. He also had a 16.5 yards per catch average. The Falcons' stars on defense, such as they are, they do have one true star, Vic Beasley, who led the NFL with 15.5 sacks. Linebacker Deion Jones led the team in tackles. He also had three interceptions and returned those three interceptions for 165 yards and two touchdowns. So clearly he's got some speed as well. That's more than 50 yards per return there. And Keanu Neal, the safety, was virtually tied with Deion Jones in tackles with 105, just one behind. So there's your quick look at the individual stars of this Falcons team. We'll get into some of the advanced stat numbers here. But first, I want to tell you about what else is going on the Locked On Podcast Network today. Over the mothership, Locked On NFL, Matt Williamson is joined by Joe Marino from Locked On Draft. They're going to talk about the national championship game between Alabama and Clemson. Also going to have a look at wide receivers and safeties. Meanwhile, over at Locked On Fantasy, Vinny Iyer's got a preview of the four playoff games this weekend. He is expecting a bunch of shootouts and a bunch of lopsided games in the AFC. And the opponent audio, Locked On Falcons, they got their Seahawks preview. They're very concerned about Robert Alford, who is their top cornerback right now, whether he'll be able to shut down Doug Baldwin. Also concerned with their rookie linebackers. So there's a scouting tip for you if you want to learn more about the Falcons. That is what's going on around the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure and check that out today. All right, with that business out of the way, let's go ahead and take a look at how the Falcons look in some of these advanced stats. If you're not familiar with what we do at Football Outsiders, we take every play from every game of every season. We feed that into a computer and we analyze each play, not just for the ability to gain yards, but also the ability to avoid turnovers, the ability to pick up first downs, the ability to convert in the red zone. And we adjust all this for quality of opponent, field position, score, and many other factors. So when you do all that math, what you end up with was from week 1 to week 17, the Falcons were third overall in the league, first on offense, 27th on defense, and 8th on special teams. So there, that again paints the picture of what we were telling you. They're really, really good at scoring points, not so good at stopping opponents from scoring. The offense, as I mentioned, was first overall, first passing, but only 7th rushing. I say only 7th. 7th is really good rushing, but they're better passing. Matt Ryan, among quarterbacks, was the number 1 ranked passer in total value by a lot. Number 2 was, I believe, Drew Brees, and he was closer to number 6 than he was to number 1. Matt Ryan was also the most efficient passer in terms of value per pass, so really he was the best quarterback this year on the best offense and should get the MVP without much question. The two running backs for Atlanta, of course, they split time, so neither one of them had great numbers by himself. But Devontae Freeman was 12th in rushing value and 14th in value per run. Tevin Coleman, 18th in rushing total rushing value, 12th in value per run. Add them both together, this is basically a top 10 running back who just happened to be split into two bodies. On top of that, they also both catch the ball a lot. Devontae Freeman was 5th among running backs in receiving value, 6th in value per pass, and Tevin Coleman, 6th among running backs in receiving value, 1st in value per pass. No one was more efficient on a per-pass basis as a running back than Tevin Coleman this year. We'll have more to say about him later, but both running backs in the top 20 for rushing value. Both running backs in the top 6 for receiving value. This is a dangerous, dangerous duo. Speaking of dangerous, the lead receiver for leading wide receiver for Atlanta is Julio Jones, who was first among wideouts in total value this year, second in value per target. He was second in value per target to his own teammate, Taylor Gabriel, who was only 24th in total value because he didn't see a lot of targets, but first in value per target. In other words, when they threw to him, it was usually a big play. I'll get to that later. Mohamed Sanu's numbers were not overwhelming. He was not in the top 40 in total value, outside the top 30 in value per target. But still, considering there's 32 teams in the league, This is basically one team's worth of number one receivers that the Falcons have here, at least in terms of efficiency. Now, on top of that, they go 4 and 5 deep. Because Aldrick Robinson and Justin Hardy, they did not get enough targets to qualify for our leaderboards. But if they had, they also would have been in the top 20 for efficiency. So, you got two running backs you can catch, and five wide receivers who are dangerous weapons. It makes defending this team very difficult. The tight ends don't get a lot of action, but when they do, they too are efficient. Especially Austin Hooper, 11th in total receiving value among tight ends. Second in receiving value per pass. Jacob Tammy, the veteran, played many years with Peyton Manning. He is just outside the top 20 in both categories. Finally, we move to the offensive line. Like everything else in Atlanta, it's pretty good, although not as good as the individual players look. Our top offensive line stat at Football Outsiders is called adjusted line yards. And what we do there is we take average yards per carry, we put a cap on each run of 10 yards or more, and we add a penalty for stuffs in the backfield. When you look at that, the Falcons' offensive line comes out 10th in adjusted line yards. They are 17th in short yardage runs and 23rd in stuff rate, so they actually will let you hit them in the backfield more often than most teams. But where they're really good, Atlanta is in getting big runs. They are 7th in second level yards, which measures in a running back's ability to get from the 5-yard level to the 10-yard level. And then 3rd in open field yards, which is the ability to take a 10-yard gain and make it 20 or 30 or 40 yards. Now, the one weakness in the Atlanta offense, as far as I can tell, they're not great at pass protection. They will give up some sacks. They were just 23rd in adjusted sack rate this year. So if you can get Atlanta in long yardage situations, you can put the quarterback on the ground. And that's really the closest thing they have to a weakness. And they're not that bad at it. They're just below average. Over on defense, as noted, this is the real weakness for Atlanta, at least as a whole team. 27th overall, 19th against the pass, and 29th against the rush. That, of course, is great news for a Seattle team that just saw Thomas Rawls rush for 160-plus yards against Detroit. The pass coverage, Atlanta's pass defense is one thing okay. They are pretty good at preventing big plays. They only allowed they were 12th, in yards per pass allowed. They were 22nd or worse, however, in completion percentage, touchdown rate, interceptions, and sack rate. So they will not give up a lot of long passes, but they'll give up plenty of short ones. They won't get many turnovers. You can beat them in the red zone, and you can't put the quarterback on the ground. This is the defense. They're not very good at putting your quarterback on the ground. And since Seattle's quarterback has been on the ground so often, that's good news. In pass coverage, their top two quarterbacks have been good, although this includes numbers for Desmond Trufant, who is out for the year, but they were, for the year, 9th in coverage against number one receivers, 10th against number twos, 11th against tight ends. That's all very good. The weaknesses were 29th versus 3, 4, and 5 receivers, wide receivers, and 26th in coverage against running backs. So Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham have been the two-man show for Seattle all year. This game, they might be relying more on Paul Richardson, who had a huge game against Detroit, and if he can play C.J. Procise, who, of course, we all know is probably Seattle's most explosive running back. A couple other weaknesses in Atlanta's pass defense. They are 25th in coverage in passes to the offense's left, and 26th in coverage against short passes, which means not only will they give up lots of short passes, but then they will miss the tackles. So that's something else to watch for on Saturday. The defensive line, about as bad as their overall defense. 25th in adjusted line yards. They are 16th in short yardage runs. 18th in stuff rate. And they're really bad at giving up big plays. They're 26th in second level yards and 13th in open field yards, which is about average. But they will give up those 7, 8, 9 yard runs. And Seattle's going to need some. They also do not have much of a pass rush. 24th in adjusted sack rate. And finally, special teams, outstanding for Atlanta, 8th overall, is led by the place-kicking value of Matt Bryant, who was 2nd in the league in scoring value on field goals and extra points, 2nd only to Baltimore's Justin Tucker. Eric Weems is a very good punt returner, who is also about average in kick returns. Matthew Bosher is a good punter. They're only 26th in kickoffs and kickoff coverage. So if Devin Hester is going to make an impact, it could be on a kickoff return. And since Atlanta figures to get some points, he could get a lot of kickoff return opportunities. But mainly, this offense is really, really great at scoring touchdowns, and even when they don't get touchdowns, the kicker is good enough to score anyway. So that is how you get 500-plus points in a season. So now we're going to do our five Falcons Seattle must stop. This should all be very predictable if you've been listening to this show at all. We've talked about them in great detail. It all starts with Matt Ryan, the likely MVP. He was the third overall draft pick out of Boston College in 2008. We talked about how he's leading the league in pass attempts at a historic, or yards per pass, I should say, at a historic rate. He also leads the NFL in touchdown rate, third in completion rate, seventh in interception rate, and the one weakness, I keep going back to this, 22nd in sack rate. He will go down on the ground. The second Falcon at Seattle must stop, Devontae Freeman. He's a fourth-round pick out of Florida State in 2014. We already talked about how he's among the leaders in both rushing and receiving value, as is Tevin Coleman, the third Falcon at Seattle must stop, a third-round pick out of Indiana in 2015. Here's my favorite stat about Tevin Coleman, and as it relates to Seattle. He had 31 catches this year. Eight of those catches gained 20 yards or more. So Atlanta's backup running back has eight 20-yard catches. Meanwhile, Jermaine Kearse, Seattle's starting wide receiver, had seven 20-yard catches. So yes, Atlanta actually gets more big plays, more big catches out of their backup running back than Seattle gets from their starting wide receiver. That is a problem. The number four Falcon Seattle must stop, Julio Jones, the sixth overall draft pick out of Alabama in 2011. I talked about all his numbers already. The number five Falcon Seattle must stop, Taylor Gabriel, the big play machine. He was an undrafted free agent out of Abilene Christian in 2014. Spent a couple years with Cleveland. This was his first year in Atlanta. He averages 16.5 yards per catch, and he catches 70% of his targets. So he's getting big plays all the damn time. And he only scored six touchdowns. But those six touchdowns, well, first of all, it was the team lead, so I shouldn't say it was only. But most importantly is where those touchdowns came from. The shortest one was 9 yards. And from there, the other five went 25, 35, 47, 64, and 76 yards. That's 42 yards per play on his six touchdown catches. So basically anywhere on the field, Taylor Gabriel is in first and goal. So there you go. The five Falcons Seattle must stop. Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Taylor Gabriel. That is going to do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with a crosstalk show with Locked On Falcons. Hopefully I'll have some kind of microphone solution by then. But I do want to thank you all for listening. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Locked Seahawks. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnSeahawks. And drop us a line at LockedOnSeahawks@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. That is going to do it for today. Thank you for listening, and go Hawks.
You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily podcast on the Seattle Seahawks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At MetroPCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to MetroPCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.